This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
A Chuck Berry for you this morning. Good morning. That'll get you going. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We are here again, and we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, October the 4th. We got a lot going on. Boy, oh boy. Did you watch what happened in the House yesterday? We'll talk about that in a little bit. And in a few minutes, Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about how what she calls lib hypocrites are ruining women's sports by supporting transgender male athletes. All right. We will talk about that in just a few minutes with Sarah Perry. And Kevin McCarthy gets ousted from his speakership in the House yesterday. Who is going to take his place? Could it possibly be... Is it at all a chance it could be Donald Trump? Donald Trump? We're going to talk about it. And I don't know if you know it. Doesn't look like a lot of people know it, but the Tampa Bay Rays played a playoff game yesterday afternoon, and they made some history in the game. Not maybe the kind of history they want to talk about, but we're going to tell you about it in our sports niche towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, Monday, we gave you the top 10 largest cruise ships, and today, the top 10 world's largest hotels. Let's see if Ed's ever been to any of the top 10. That'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best place for a haircut in Tampa Bay, for my money, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, if it has to do with trees, call ArborLife. You'll get a great, great return on your investment. Call for a free estimate. It's 727-330-1999. So yesterday, the House voted to oust Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. It's like this Matt Gaetz led the ousting, you might say. He's a conservative Republican here in Florida. He's in a very safe district. Or at least up until now, it's been safe for him. But it's sort of like the dog that chases the car and catches it. What are you going to do now? What are they going to do now? The House can't operate without a speaker. So they've got to come up with a new Speaker of the House. This is the first time in the history of the House that they have ousted their speaker. It's never been done before. So we are treading new ground. Eight Republicans voted with every Democrat to vacate the Speaker's chair. The final vote was 216 to 210. There were several people that were not there, but it wouldn't have made any difference at this point. It was Gaetz that led the move with a motion to vacate Monday night, actually, although the vote was taken yesterday. Gaetz accused McCarthy of breaking promises he made to win the Speaker's gavel originally back in January. The truth is that Matt Gaetz has never liked Kevin McCarthy. He didn't even vote for him to be the speaker originally. So Gates said this: chaos is Speaker McCarthy. Chaos is somebody who we cannot trust with their word. And you know, Gates was actually sending out funding emails while the vote was going on to oust McCarthy. He didn't waste any time there. So now the question is, who is going to replace Kevin McCarthy? And McCarthy went on, went out and was talking after the vote and said he will not run it. He will not seek the speakership again. So who are they going to replace him with? Well, now that he's been ousted, there are three main contenders to replace him: Steve Scalise, who is a Republican from Louisiana; Tom Emmer, he's a Republican from Minnesota; and Elise Stefanik, a Republican from New York. Now, all three of them have voiced their backing of McCarthy, but McCarthy will not run again. And it's not clear if any of these three would accept the speakership nomination. It's also unclear who else the party might rally around, and that raises the question of whether there's actually a viable alternative to McCarthy. Is there any chance that a Democrat? Is there any chance that a Democrat could win the speakership? Well, probably not, unless there's some Republican that completely goes off the reservation. The Democrats would like Hakeem Jeffries to be the Speaker of the House. God forbid. Now, Scalise is the Republican majority leader in the House. He was the heir apparent to the speakership, but he has cancer. And that could derail his plans to be the Speaker. He did announce in September that he's pursuing an aggressive cancer treatment. I guess he has multiple myeloma. And apparently the treatment has significantly improved his prognosis, which is great news. Otherwise, that leaves Emmer, who is the majority whip, and Stefanik, the conference chair. Emmer allowed McCarthy to bring bills to the floor that didn't have enough votes to pass, and his critics have contrasted his performance with that of his Democratic predecessor, Jim Clyburn. Stefanik, he rose to prominence as a MAGA firebrand while Trump was president. Unlike McCarthy and Scalise and Emmer, who have declined to endorse Trump, Stefanik has endorsed Trump. Now, that may win, and she's a woman, by the way, that may win her support among the party's right flank. So we will see where that goes. But Donald Trump himself, believe it or not, and I'm not sure, but do you remember when our buddy from our master barber buddy said that he thought that Donald Trump might somehow, some way, become the Speaker of the House? Texas Congressman Troy Nels said in a statement yesterday afternoon, when the House reconvenes, he will nominate Trump for Speaker of the House. He said, "President Trump, the greatest president of my lifetime, has a proven record of putting America first and will make the House great again." So we'll see about that. I'm not sure that Trump could garner the votes.
Yes, yes. If they put Trump in there as Speaker of the House, how many Democrats do you think would have an immediate stroke?
It would be interesting, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be interesting to see that?
Nothing would get done, I can tell you that. Nothing would get done.
It would be...
because he would agree to nothing.
Yeah. You're right. It would turn into a circus, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In the House. It might, indeed. All right, let's do this. We are going to, we'll return to this topic a little later, where we're going to take our break. When we come back, Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation, we're going to talk about how liberal hypocrites are trashing women's sports by supporting transgender males.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. I just saw this ad in online. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with this women's boxing champ. Her name is Ebony Bridges, and she has spoken out. She said she has no regrets about making remarks on trans women in combat sports. She is against it. She says, I'm right when I talk about it, and it's true. She is the reigning IBF female bantamweight champion. And she has no regrets, she says, for speaking out against transgender women trying to compete in her sport. She said, everyone's so scared to say anything, but no matter what you say, people are going to jump and turn on you. She said, I think the reality is I am right, and it's true. And I think 99% of the people...
How did we get along all these years without transgender having their own gigs, you know?
I tell you.
You know, you want your own gig? Do your own
gig. Well, that's what she says.
Have your own... Have a transgender bout.
Exactly. A transgender league. In any sport, you can do that if you really put your mind to
it. Two and four legs. Who cares?
There you go. Delighted to have Sarah Perry join us. She is a senior legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about how, and she has a piece that she penned with her colleague Hans von Spakovsky in the Daily Caller, Liberal Hypocrites Are Destroying Women's Sports. Sarah, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And, you know, it's such a no-brainer. I mean, deep down, does anybody really think that it's fair to have a trans man compete, like, in a swimming contest or in a boxing match or tennis or whatever it is? Why is it, do you think? Why are liberals so much, why are they pushing the envelope on this?
You know, it's a great question. I think it really sort of helps identify the disparities between male and female athletes to begin with. I think they're pushing it because this is sort of the Marxist collectivism that we've seen coming for a long time. You know, a lot of conservatives were very much up in arms after the Obergefell versus Hodges decision. And it wasn't necessarily about the notion of constitutional recognition of a same-sex rights to marriage, but the slippery slope that something like that was going to result in. And as it turns out, the conservatives were actually right, because in a few short years, less than 10 years, we now are seeing an evisceration of spaces that were formerly reserved only for women to essentially rectify the vestiges of past discrimination. Listen, we know Title IX, which governs all sports programs within federally funded educational institutions, both at the college level and at the K through 12 level, is now on the chopping block. The Biden administration has already proposed to include trans-identified males in with females in all levels of athletic competition. But Hans and I just looked at this from a strict hormonal standpoint, and we looked at it from the sort of ideal of where the International Olympic Committee has gone with the notions of prohibitions on metabolic enhancements and hormone supplementation in international sports. And if you remember a couple of decades ago, it was essentially first the East German Olympics, 60s through the 80s. They were winning Olympic gold after Olympic gold, but not until after we saw the fall of communism did we realize that they had really developed a finely tuned hormonal system to give themselves an advantage. Now, these are women, female swimmers, who are enhancing their performance with male hormonal injections. The Russian government, not long thereafter, has also been involved in doping scandals. In fact, recently, Kamila Valieva, who's the 15-year-old Russian figure skater, she was taking a hormone enhancement as well. But here's what I find very interesting, is that the International Olympic Committee, and we just looked these regulations up to make sure that we were accurate in their international positioning, require nothing more than a self-declaration of womanhood and a year of testosterone suppression below a certain level before men can compete as women. So doping scandals for women are enough to strip them of their medals. Obviously, the entire Olympic Committee, the entire International Athletic Association, all turned their noses up at these particular women who were enhancing their performances with male hormones, and yet a male can compete as a woman with nothing more than a year of hormonal suppression. It is really the height of liberal hypocrisy.
It boggles the mind, Sarah, that Democrats and liberals want to push the envelope on this. Do they not understand? First of all, they're losing the women's vote and women's support. All kinds of Martina Navratilova, a lesbian woman, has come out and said, this is craziness to allow men, transgender men, to be playing in sports. I mean, it's very hard to argue against the notion. And you would think that, like President Biden, you mentioned him, and Democrats, why would they want to jump on this issue? It only works against them.
You know, it really does in the long term, but I think in many respects, you know, we have this sort of cultural thing that someone jumped the shark, right? They've gotten to the point where it's so irrational. It's such a ridiculous conclusion or a ridiculous situation that individuals really had no choice but to stand up and go, wait a minute, now this is ridiculous. Because nowhere other than in sports is that disparity between men and women so clearly representative, right? We see that difference. We can talk about bathrooms. We can talk about locker rooms. We can talk about housing accommodations and domestic abuse shelters. But it's not until we see the Leah Thomases of the world competing as Will Thomas just a year prior, all 6'4" of him,
yeah,
to people like Riley Gaines, where we go, wait a minute, this is definitely not fair. We only addressed the hormonal distinction, only addressed it from the doping standpoint. But I will tell you, there are multitudes of distinctions, from muscle mass to bone density, wingspan to height, metabolic recovery rate. These are significant differences that even hormonal suppression does not make a difference in. It was simply one of those angles that I think liberals have sort of forgotten their history on. Not only have they forgotten the feminist history that led up to the passage of Title IX in interscholastic athletics, they've forgotten the international history of what it looked like to catch these women in doping scandals when they were giving themselves male hormones to enhance their own performance. We don't want enhanced performance in any respect. It is inherently and patently unfair, and yet I think liberal pundits seem to be willing to turn a blind eye.
It's crazy. We're talking with Sarah Perry. She is a senior legal fellow, excuse me, at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, and she's penned a piece called Liberal Hypocrites Are Destroying Women's Sports. It was in the Daily Caller. You know, Sarah, next year is going to be one of the Olympics, whether it's the winter or the summer, I don't remember, but that's coming up. Are we going to have a transgender issue, do you think, in the Olympics?
Oh, I think we can virtually be guaranteed that that's going to be the case. It's in France this year. The Summer Olympics in 2024 are going to be in France. Listen, we've seen nothing but sort of this mealy-mouthed recognition of, yes, there are some hormonal advantages. We recognize that. We want to make sure that it's fair, and if men don't get their testosterone suppression limited enough, then we will allow them to compete as males. But I will tell you, that is cold comfort for the women. We're going to be standing up against biological men on the grandstand. We've already seen it in sports like surfing with that governing association. We've seen it in motocross. We've seen it in volleyball. We have seen it in every sport so far. You led the segment talking a little bit about transgender-identified men who are in positions in combat sports like boxing. We think of the damage that Fallon Fox, who is a biological male, has inflicted on the biological females against whom he has fought. And it is not only the height of hubris to think that a man can simply call himself a woman and compete next to a woman or take a woman's place, but a man can literally actively assault a woman for sports, and we call it progress.
Yeah, indeed. I'm old enough to remember. Do you remember Renee Richards?
Yes, I sure do.
Renee Richards was a transsexual, and I, in fact, we spoke about Martina. I think she played Martina, and Martina beat her, if my memory is correct. But Renee Richards was a tall, lithe transsexual that competed in women's professional tennis. And she kind of, you know, was so unique that I don't think there was quite the stir that there is today. But the concept of having men in the Olympics, in a female Olympic sport, it's just, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, we'd be laughing about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely we would. And I have to tell you, listen, as former senior counsel at the Civil Rights Office at Department of Ed, I spent a lot of time working through the permutations of federal civil rights laws like Title IX. The problem with organizations like the IOC and, for example, the NCAA is that they are membership-driven organizations. They are not subject to the same civil rights protections because they don't have that United States governmental hook, right? That particular federal interference that requires people who are participating in government funding programs to play by the rules. So a lot of these colleges find themselves, for example, over a barrel because the NCAA has essentially said, I tell you what, we're going to leave it to the governing sports to essentially make their own determinations on what they want to do with transgender-identified males in the sports. But there isn't a NCAA D1, 2, or 3 that doesn't want that NCAA recognition. So as far as the federal government is concerned, they've thrown their hands up and said, we really want trans-identified males in women's sports. And the NCAA has said, listen, you do what you want, but we're going to let these governing organizations decide. What incentive does an NCAA-ranked university or college have to make sure that female interests are protected? We are right back to where we were in 1972 when we were debating this on the House and Senate floors after the height of the sexual revolution. And what stymies me, I have to tell you, is where we find ourselves essentially walking back 50 years of progress and how the feminists, so many of them, are willing to essentially ignore exactly what it took to get where we are.
Yeah.
That is, I think, for me, an angle that we don't talk about enough on this is sort of that element of ignorant history that we find ourselves up against, not only in these International Olympic Committee doping scandals, but also on women's progress in sports, women's progress and education generally, there are many women who, but for athletic scholarships, would not be able to afford college. You are essentially pricing them right out of the market. It's just patently unfair on all accounts.
Yeah, indeed. My colleague Ed Davis has a question, I think, for you, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, I kind of wanted to piggyback on that. I mean, swimming as a sport is one thing, but what's going to happen in, say, if it would go to boxing when you've got a female in there, the biological female that is 5'9", 130 pounds, and a transgender male that's in there that's 6'4" and 245 pounds. Are we going to wait till somebody gets killed in there? And where does the Me Too movement stand right on this whole issue?
You know, it's interesting. We've heard nothing from the Me Too purveyors and those sort of denizens of the movement that were telling all of us that there was this sort of quiet solicitude of men being in power and we needed to stand up and make our voices heard. And yet I do not understand where those voices are now. I don't know if it is just a widespread fear of being painted as a bigot, because quite frankly, I care not for what people think of me. I will not take a look at something that I know is an orange and call it a banana. That is exactly what we know to be true.
I like the way you use those fruits.
It is exactly the truth.
Yes.
We know it. Our eyes don't deceive us. This is what this is essentially an international game of the emperor has no clothes. And
yes,
yet all of the people are lined up saying, oh, look how wonderful the clothes are. Well, until and unless good people like us are willing to stand up and say, wait a minute, it's not only patently unfair, we know it's biologically unreal. Can we finally stand up and identify that we're not going to go quietly into government-sponsored bigotry, and that we're actually going to identify that these are males competing as females? We don't want our spaces given up. We don't want our faces smashed in. We don't want our scholarships divested. It is important because for those of us who have daughters and granddaughters, they only have one hope, and that's us.
Indeed. I was going to say, maybe you could lead with that. A banana is a banana. I don't know how you look at it.
You know, and one other thing, Sarah. Hans Christian Andersen was ahead of his time on The Emperor Has No Clothes. Oh, my.
He certainly was.
Sarah, it's always a pleasure, and I thank you so very much. Keep up the good fight. I think in the long run, we're going to win it.
I do, too. The truth will certainly out. Thanks for having me again, gentlemen.
Our pleasure. All right. Sarah Perry from the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about the chances of Donald Trump. By the way, I think Donald Trump is back in court again today. We'll have to take a look at that. And also, did you know Nancy Pelosi got kicked out of her private office at the Capitol? We're going to talk about that, too.
Got somewhere to go. Won't you make yourself at home and stay with me? And don't you ever leave.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Freedom Works on a Wednesday. So, poor old Nancy Pelosi. Now, she was not there for the vote to oust Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. She was out attending, I think, the funeral of Dianne Feinstein in California. So
yeah,
she,
and I believe there was a twist to that, that the whole thing with Kevin McCarthy was upset that Nancy Pelosi was supposed to have his back. Did you hear about that?
No. She would have voted for it, keeping him?
Yes, supposedly. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. And then the big hell huff is, what is he doing trusting Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
I would trust her.
Well, apparently she has been ousted or evicted from her private Capitol office by the new Speaker pro tempore. That's Patrick McHenry.
Would her husband have another visitor?
I don't know. Her husband had somebody with a hammer visit him, didn't
he? Yeah, I remember that. That went away.
I remember that, yeah.
Had a drink in his hand, hammer in the other.
Yeah, exactly. So Patrick McHenry emailed Pelosi that she had to vacate her Capitol hideaway by today. Now, McHenry is an ally to Kevin McCarthy. It was one of his first acts as the top House lawmaker. He'll be the interim guy. They've got to elect. They're not going to be able to conduct any business until they have a new Speaker of the House. The email said that Pelosi's hideaway was being reassigned, quote, for Speaker office use. Please vacate the space tomorrow. The room will be rekeyed. Nothing like being kicked out of your own office, right?
And not having a key.
And not having a key. So Pelosi said in the statement, with all the important decisions that the new Republican leadership must address, which we are all eagerly awaiting, one of the first actions taken by the new Speaker pro tempore is to order me to immediately vacate my office in the Capitol. Sadly, because I am in California to mourn the loss and pay tribute to my dear friend Dianne Feinstein, I'm unable to retrieve my belongings at this time. Well, can't they leave her belongings, including her false teeth, out?
I was going to say, she had some Permagrip, a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, so just put that outside the door, and she can pick it up on her way. I don't understand this issue. Hey, we have our buddy, Andrew Ceraci, the master barber, with us. And Andrew, did you watch any of that circus with the voting in the House yesterday?
I was watching on and off a little bit. Then I saw a lot of cuts of it, you know.
Yes, I'm sure you were busy. So did you hear about this possibility, although it's very remote, that Donald Trump could become the Speaker of the House?
What I told you that
yes.
a long time.
Well, that's what I had said earlier in the show. What I talked about this.
I told you that a long time. That would be a beautiful thing. He should do it just to break their chops. That's what he should do, and then throw an investigation, a federal investigation, into prosecutors that are prosecuting them.
Yeah. Hey, what
that's
do you?
What I would do.
What do you think about Matt Gaetz? This is the guy. This is the guy that. Turn the key that did all that started all this trouble. What do you think?
You know, Matt is shooting to be governor of Florida.
You don't think so, do you?
I guarantee it.
Oh, you can't guarantee that.
I heard that too.
Yeah. Do you know how many enemies he has made in the House?
As many as Trump.
I think more. I really do. Matt Gaetz is not liked in the House
well,
at all.
On the Republican side, he's hated. On the Democrats love him.
They don't like him. Yeah. No, they don't. They don't like Gaetz. They used him, but they don't like him. That's why he doesn't have anybody. So what are they going to do, Andrew? What's going to happen to the speakership? What's going to happen to the House? They can't do any business until they elect a speaker.
Well, they haven't done any business in 9 months, so is that anything
new? No. Maybe you're right about that. Maybe we'd save some money.
Of course. Okay. You know, tell me what Kevin McCarthy has done in 9 months.
Well, it's very hard to get...
Of course it is.
To
it's
get
like
any...
What has Biden done in 9 months?
Well, just wait a second. Kevin McCarthy only had a handful of more Republicans than Democrats.
Of course.
So that he had to cobble together... You know, he had to work with Democrats to get anything passed because he had some far-right Republicans that were going to go off the reservation. In other words, all the Democrats are voted as one group. There wasn't one Democrat that didn't.
Of course.
You got to hand it to Nancy Pelosi. She was able to keep all the sheep on the Democratic side from jumping over the fence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but look where it got her. She got thrown out of her office.
Yes, she did. Hey, by the way, Ed just pointed out, Jim Jordan, who's been going after Hunter Biden and his dad, confirms that he is running for speaker. What do you think about Jim
Jordan? That'd be a beautiful thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, they were saying no shot for Jim Jordan, but that'd be great. He'd do a better job than Kevin McCarthy ever dreamed of.
Do you think he could keep the sheep in line?
Yep.
Well, he's in that. Go ahead. Yeah. He won't get any votes from the Democrats. That means he has to get virtually every vote from the Republicans.
Well, he can do it.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Okay. I think he would be a good one.
Yes.
I think he would be a good one. I think Donald Trump showed up again in court, if I'm not mistaken, today.
Did you see that judge that they got? Where did they find him? And you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Dudley Do-Right. Remember Dudley Do-Right?
Yes, I do. The square-jawed Mountie.
He reminds me of Dudley Do-Right.
Uh-huh.
I saw that guy grinning at Trump, I just looked at him and said, what a shame. This guy is a judge? Give me a break.
So, but you know, he went along with the dismissal of a lot of because of the statute of limitations. So I don't know. You know, he might
now,
be.
Wait.
Go ahead.
You're saying one thing, and I heard something.
All right, go ahead.
Totally different.
Uh huh.
Now I heard that 80% of the appellate court threw out 80%. Of the charges against Trump because of things.
Yeah.
But this judge says he doesn't care what the appellate court did.
Appellate court?
He was against it. That's what I understood.
That's not the way I read it. You may be right. I may have to go back and reread it. I got the impression that he went along with it.
No.
Okay. Well, it seems to...
Double check that to make sure, because I know specifically I heard.
Well, remember, Trump came out and said he was very pleased with the ruling. That about 80% had to be tossed.
He was pleased with the appellate court ruling.
Appellate.
Right, not this guy, I believe.
All right. Well,
I could be wrong.
Well, we'll see.
Double check it.
Yeah. I think there's a very good... First of all, I think that Trump's lawyers are making a very good case that... That the value of his properties is in the eye of the beholder, and I don't think they're going to get very far with this thing about his overpricing his properties and all of that.
First of all, let me ask you a question.
And nobody got hurt. Nobody lost any money.
Not even that, Paul.
Yeah.
You ever apply for a mortgage?
Yeah.
You apply for a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
You say okay. I'm buying this house for $330,000, and it's worth $340,000. And the bank's going to say, well, you know what? We're sending our appraiser there, and we'll let you know what we come up with. Now, you cannot tell me that whoever Donald Trump borrowed that money from did not send the property appraiser out to appraise the property he was buying.
That's correct. That's why I am saying that they had decided to loan him the money based on what they thought the value of the property was, and he got the money.
That's right. And not only did he get it, he paid it back ahead of time.
And nobody was hurt. Nobody lost any money from it. So this is what...
The only one's going to get hurt out of this whole thing is going to be Letita James.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think Trump's going to come out of this. Maybe it's a good thing they got this thing going early. I don't know how long it's going to...
Uh-huh. It's good that he's right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's right there, which makes it good. The people are seeing that this is nothing but a farce. And I heard he's even going to testify.
And who? I'm sorry?
I heard that Trump was even going to testify.
Oh, he might testify? Yeah.
That might. I heard he's going to.
He's going to?
Sure.
Now, that'll be interesting.
That's right. Let's see what Letitia James has got to do with him then.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I saw her sitting in the chamber watching the events unfold yesterday. So
yeah, but she's going to start getting real nervous.
So everything else going well?
I got no complaints. You know, the girls are still in Europe. And
Yes, that's right. Candy, who is a great barber, and your assistant, your daughter, and your wife are both touring around in Europe, huh?
They're touring around in Europe. From what I understand, they're getting free bottles of wine wherever they go.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Enjoy that.
Uh-huh.
But
now,
everything is going good with them, but you know, me, they're killing me, making me work every day.
Yeah.
I'm not used to this no more.
Yeah, that's right. Now that I think about it, you must be holding down the fort, but...
And then I got Christine, you know, she's
I do there. Know. She's very good.
Oh, my God. You know, the wife and the daughter are gone, so I don't hear them complain. I thought I had peace.
Yeah?
And I go in there, and the minute she walks in the door, she starts moaning.
Christine?
I'm going to start a new business with her.
Delightful Christine. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to start a new business with her. All these guys that are thinking of getting married.
Yes?
I'm going to rent her out from Friday afternoon to 3 o'clock. And they can return her Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
And they won't want to get married?
And they'll say they still want to get married.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, my friend. Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. And don't overwork.
I'm not trying to.
I know you're not. Thanks, Andrew.
You take care.
All right.
See you later.
All right, buddy. Hopefully Friday we'll talk again. There he goes, the master barber. All right. We will take our break. We will come back. Among other things, the Tampa Bay Rays. They made some history in their playoff game yesterday. I'm not sure it's the kind of history that they want to talk about, but we will tell you about it when we do our sports niche in just a few minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here on
Tantalk Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And when you can make it and listen to us live, we appreciate it very much. However, if you cannot listen live, thanks to Ed, all our shows are on podcast, so you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, where if you click on the podcast button, it opens up all the shows that we have done. The most recent show will be at the top, and you can listen at your leisure. You will know who the guest is, you will know the topic with the guest, and you will know our top 10. Ed puts all that up there, bless him. Just go to O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. So a bunch of liberal columnists are urging President Biden to dump Kamala Harris as vice president for the new election. Columnists at the Washington Post, New York Magazine, The Intelligencer, and a prominent independent writer said there are better options available for Biden's running mate and that he should choose one of them if he wants to have any shot at winning re-election. Among the Democrats mentioned to replace Kamala Harris, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, and Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. I don't know. I mean, Kamala Harris is...
I don't think it happens.
I just don't think he can do it. Look at...
The backlash.
There would be a backlash from the African-American community. Yeah. There really would be. Unless he were to nominate another black woman, maybe. That would be the only way, right?
And yeah, but then are you nominating because she's black or because she's qualified?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I know.
I mean, they thought Kamala was qualified.
I know.
Until she got the job.
I know. Well, they, you know, they thought we need the black female vote, so we'll use Kamala Harris. They obviously had no idea that she would end up the way she did.
At this point, people, the black community should realize that they are using them.
Yeah.
They are using them. That's it.
Yeah, you're right about that. So I want to talk a little bit before we go to our top 10, Ed. Let me find my story here about it. The Tampa Bay Rays played their first playoff game yesterday in the afternoon. And... where is my story on this?
Well, the big stink is that they only drew 19,000 yesterday
at the
ballpark.
Yes.
Well, listen, Major League Baseball, get a note, okay, and write this down. That if you give fans less than 24 hours to buy a ticket, call in sick from work the next day and tell people you can't work or whatever, and pull your kids out of school to go watch the ball game at 3 o'clock, then you'll understand. You know, everybody else started at 5 or 7 o'clock.
It was a crazy time to start it.
And, you know, traditionally we don't have a good attendance on day games. We don't.
Yeah.
But you get, you know, Sunday, they didn't even know till Sunday night when it was going to, you know, what time it was going to happen.
Right.
So, and then, I mean, we watched the game through 5 innings and turned it off because the Rays looked like they were playing AAA ball with all the mistakes and
Well, that was the second thing they lost.
They look hard. And you got one columnist blaming the fans that that's why they played so poorly. Come on.
Oh, no. I know it's not that case. But they generated the lowest postseason attendance in more than 100 years in this game.
Yeah, well, what I want to know is in that 100 years, are any of those games were played at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, I know.
Because I won't tell you that.
I doubt it.
Traditionally, they're at 7 o'clock.
That's right. And they've got so many of these games to start out with that they got to jumble them up and push them up into the afternoons and stuff like that.
Fans are not have a lot of faith in the Rays. I believe they get bounced today. I believe they'll lose today. They have another 3 o'clock game. Now, today's attendance will probably be better because people had an extra day to come up with an excuse why not to come into work.
They had 19,704 fans yesterday. So they should be able to, what do you think, about 25,000, 30,000 fans? Yeah. Now, it's the best of three, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so they got to win today.
They got to win today, yeah.
Yeah, what time is the game?
3 o'clock, again.
I got to watch that. Mm-hmm. The Rays had about 1,000,004 in attendance for their 81 games at the Trop this year. That was 27th
in Major League Baseball. What are they, about 31 teams, right?
So, yeah, there's 31. But it was still up from last year.
Okay, a little bit up.
It was up.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be getting that new baseball stadium, right?
Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. I'm still crossing our fingers, aren't we, on that one?
Yeah, well, nothing's in writing yet.
Nothing is. You're right.
We got just a couple of handshakes.
That's not
a pumpkin pie, and that's it.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Ed, it's time for our top 10. These are the top 10 largest hotels in the world. We did the top 10 largest cruise ships on Monday. So let's see what the hotels are. Here we go. Number 10. It's in Las Vegas. It's the Luxor, L-U-X-O-R, Luxor Las Vegas. It has 4,407 rooms. That's a biggie.
That's a cleaning those.
Oh, my God. Number 9. It's also in Las Vegas. It's the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Las Vegas?
No. It's not on my list.
No. 4,426 rooms. Wow. Okay. Number 8. It's in Russia. Sochi, Russia, wherever that is. The Barkhotnia Sezoni.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. 4,688 rooms. Dasvidaniya.
Wow.
That's all I got to say. Number 7. Back to Las Vegas. Wynn's Las Vegas and Encore Resort. Uh-huh. 4,748 rooms. Number 6. Hey, back to Russia. This one's in Moscow. The Izmailovo, I guess, hotel. 5,000 rooms even.
Many of those are empty.
I know. That would be interesting. Number 5.
Hey, now we know where to send the migrants.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Actually, number 5 and number 6 are the same in terms of... No, I take that back. I misread that. No, number 5 is the Londoner Macau. It's in Macau, M-A-C-A-U, the country of Macau. It's got 6,000 rooms.
Oh.
Okay, number 4. It's in Mecca. Mecca is the holy site in Saudi Arabia. It's the Abre Al Bayt. It's also got 6,000 rooms, apparently. Okay, number 3. The MGM Grand Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah. 6,852 rooms. Wow. Number 2. It's also in Las Vegas. The Venetian Resort. 7,092 rooms. My goodness.
It's a long hallway.
Can you imagine, like you said, trying to clean that?
Yeah.
I would like the cleaning contract.
We'll be in line for check-in, you know?
I know. All right, Ed. I know you don't have any idea.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go with...
What do you think?
I always hear about Dubai. Somewhere in Dubai.
You're not far away. Well, you are not real close, but at least you're somewhere there. It's actually in Malaysia. It's called the First World Hotel. It's in Genting Highlands, Malaysia. 7,351 rooms. Wow.
Wow.
Malaysia's huge, by the way. Lots of people there. Okay. Thank you so very much for listening to us. We are going to be back on Friday. In the meantime, be safe out there. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A major strike underway today in 5 states and Washington, D.C. 75,000 healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente, represented by a coalition of unions. Demarius Reyes is a medical assistant. She says they want better pay and increased staff.
They have a lot of employees that are very knowledgeable with a lot of potential. And the fact that they don't want to invest and they don't want to bargain in good faith is very disappointing.
The history that played out yesterday in the